Greetings, everyone. And on this weekend, when we welcome so many people into town for our sold-out Winter Brewfest, the church this weekend welcomes all of us, welcomes us once again into this season of Lent, this grace-filled time, this holy season, this important time in the life of the church. It's a season that begins with victory, as we just heard, not the Victory Brew House a couple blops away, or their Hop Devil beer, but rather the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great victory over the devil. And that is what Lent is all about. Having been traced with the sign of his victory, the sign of his cross on our heads this past Wednesday, we now follow him on his way. Our fasting, our penance, our almsgiving, and our prayer are all efforts in which we can expose our weaknesses, our dependencies, our sin, and allow his life and his victory to be more and more our own. Victory over what? Three things: temptation, suffering, and death. And on this first Sunday of Lent, we see Jesus' victory over temptation. The word temptation in English is always used to describe an allurement to evil, an enticement to the wrong, a seduction into sin. But in the Greek, the word for temptation is more general. It means to be tested. And as creatures with free will, we are constantly being tested. Tested to the right or to the wrong. Tested in what we do and what we fail to do. Being tested is actually a good thing. It's the way we grow. It's the way we learn. It's the way we become more ourselves and we mature. Saying yes to what is good, no to what is evil. It's the way in which we grow in the freedom in which we have been created. And that freedom is a beautiful thing. We are wonderfully made. But as we know, that freedom can be fearful, because with that freedom, we can also be enslaved to many things. We are not only wonderfully made, but fearfully made, which is why on this first Sunday of Lent, we go back to the making of human beings. We go back right to the beginning, to the creation of Adam and Eve, and how they were created in freedom, that God did not create robots, but he created man and woman so that we might come to live and to love and to act in right accord. And as we know so well, as we just heard in the reading, Adam and Eve failed the test, and evil had a great victory over the human race. As a result, our own intellects are clouded, our wills are weakened, and that failure has been manifest up and down the ages in so many ways. But our Lord came, and he established his victory, undoing the evil one's victory in the garden. And in so doing, we learn an awful lot of God's plan, of God's way. We learn, too, the way of evil. And so three things that are revealed to us this Sunday, and three practical applications. Number one, it's pretty clear from Jesus' temptations that temptation is all about identity. Each temptation The devil said to Jesus, if you are, questioning his identity as the Father's beloved son, as the Father's heart, as the Father's loved one. Temptation is all about questioning our identity. And that means who we are and who we are not. It means who we are in relationship with ourselves, who we are in relationship with God and who He is, who we are in relationship to the person next to us, behind us, in front of us, and who we're not. Identity. Number two, victory over temptation is all about obedience. Once we know who we are, we can live in that truth. We can live in Christ accordingly. And finally, temptation is never ending. The scriptures, when they tell of the temptations of Jesus in the desert, say that the devil left him for a time. We know that he would be back. My friends, temptation never ends. And so the application. It's pretty clear the devil is not make-believe. The devil is real. Evil is serious stuff. And when it comes to the devil, he's a real loser. It's so important that we do not deny the devil's existence, but we don't wrestle with him either. What do we do? Point number two. We acknowledge and we call him out. A priest once said to me, "Early and often, tell the devil to go back to hell where he belongs." And I have found great wisdom in that word. But it has to be early and often. So many of our troubles come when we mess around. So many of our troubles come when it's too late, when it's not so often. But we can, early and often, tell the devil to go back where he belongs. Finally, God is with us. We believe that. We know it. And his victory is ours. And in this season of Lent, we are given an opportunity for our lives to be with him. For our lives to more and more demonstrate his victory over sin, so that these temptations and the victory of Jesus that we read in the scriptures today are not just realities that we read of, but they become realities that we know in our own life. As we claim more and more ground, as we claim more and more victory over sin, over temptation, over unforgiveness, and we grow in that freedom of mind and heart in which we have been created. My friends, that's the word on this first Sunday of Lent. And I close with the opening prayer, the collect from the Ash Wednesday Mass. Grant, O Lord, that we may begin with holy fasting this campaign of Christian service, so that as we take up battle against spiritual evils, we may be armed with weapons of self-restraint. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.